6 and verse 12. We'll get there in just one moment. Amen. And what we'll continue in our series tonight on the good fight of faith. Now, tonight and next week will be the last two messages in this series. Amen. And then in the month of June, we're going to have a number of one-time messages that are going to be powerful and helpful. Amen. Before we start a brand new series in July on evangelism and discipleship. Praise God. So in July onward, we'll be talking. We may take a few breaks or two messages there, here and there that will be different, but we're going to do a series on evangelism and discipleship beginning there in July. And so if you're there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, once again, we are looking at this verse as the foundational verse for the series, The Good Fight of Faith. And what we're doing is unpacking and looking at various parts of this verse and its meaning and its importance to us. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And so in this series and unpacking it, we've been talking about what the good fight of faith is, and actually what it isn't as well, and then how to fight the good fight of faith. And tonight's message, we're going to entitle Identification, a Divine Plan of God. I'll say that again. Identification, a Divine Plan of God. Matter of fact, I told you last week that the last three messages would be along the lines of identification or our identity in Christ. This is such a big subject and a big topic, it's impossible to cover it in three messages, but we're going to do some high points that I believe that will be beneficial. We heard some good comments about last week as we began it. And so I want us to think about both this thought right here, both redemption, everybody say redemption, and identification. Everybody say identification. Amen. Both redemption and identification are divine plans of God. Most of us, if you're part of this church, you understand what redemption is. Redemption is what God has done through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to provide salvation and victory for all of mankind. Amen. And we did in our Redemptive Truth series that we did, back on Sundays last year, we spent many weeks talking about God's great plan of redemption and how that benefits us in redemptive truth. Amen. But identification, like redemption, was also God's divine plan. In identification, Jesus became like us so that we could become like Him. Now, I want them to put up slide 11, and identification is how God changes man's or ours, our spiritual condition, position, and identity by Him or by us being in union with Christ. Amen. So, I'm going to say that again. Identification is how God changes man's spiritual condition, position, and identity by putting Him or us in a union with Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. So although there are many spiritual laws in the Bible, what do you mean many spiritual laws? Well, there's a number of spiritual laws. Laws are important because laws work the same way all the time for everyone. And just like there's natural laws, there's spiritual laws. And us being ignorant or not knowing a number of spiritual laws is to our detriment. One of the spiritual laws that's very clear, Romans chapter, you can write it down, Romans chapter 3 verse 27, I believe it is, it's the law of faith. Faith is a law. How many know that authority, there's a spiritual law of authority. There's healing is a spiritual law. The power of your words is a spiritual law. And how many know that free will is centered around a spiritual law. In other words, God just can't do anything in your life. He gave you a free will, and we must cooperate with God in certain spiritual laws and in order to have the things work in our life. So although there are a number of very important spiritual laws in the Bible, one of the most important ones is the one that we'll be talking about in last week and then these last two messages, and that is the law of identification. And so we're talking about that. And in it, what we find is, although the Bible talks about many wonderful things, one of the things that it certainly is centered around, the whole Bible is this, is really about two men. And that is the first Adam and the last Adam, Jesus Christ. What we must understand is that through the whole Bible, if we don't understand the first Adam, what he did, and have that affected all the human race, and what the second Adam, Christ, is called the second Adam, we'll turn there once again tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, who is Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Amen. If we don't understand the part that both play and how that affects us, see, it's recorded so that we not only know what happened to them, but how that affects us. Just like Adam's sin affected all of the human race and humanity, so Christ's obedience affects all of humanity as well, if those that would believe on Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. So Jesus, I'm going to remind you again, Jesus is called Adam, or the second or last Adam, because both he and Adam are heads of the entire race. The first natural and the second spiritual. The law of identification teaches us that God sees all mankind in one of these two beings. Or he sees all mankind either in Adam or in Christ. So whether you like it or not tonight, all of human race, God looks at you differently than you may look at yourself. The key is finding out how God looks at you and then begin to view yourself that way. If we're going to walk in victory, we're going to have to view ourselves, know the way that God views us, and then walk in the way that God views us. So God sees all of mankind either in Adam or in Christ. And so, our first birth, which was a natural birth into this world, identifies us with or put us in Adam. You had nothing to do with that. You were just born in this earth. There's nothing you could do to change that because Adam is the head of the entire human race. And we were born in this darkened spiritual condition because Adam sinned, and when Adam sinned, he fell spiritually death, and everyone else came out of him in the human race, and so therefore, this same death passed upon all mankind. So the point is our first birth or natural birth into this world identifies, the Bible says it identifies us with or puts us in Adam, but our second birth or our new birth, or what we call salvation, identifies us with or puts us in Christ. Amen. That's good news. So through our faith in Jesus, we get put in Him. We get out of Adam and get put in to Christ. That's a big deal. And Adam is the old man, and Christ is the new man. And as we once shared the same identical condition of Adam before salvation, we now, once saved, share the same identical condition of Jesus Christ. That's good news. Amen. So, in other words, whatever's in Christ is in you. Whatever was in Adam got in us. Now, once we get in Christ, whatever's in Christ gets in us. That's good news. This is why identification is is so important to understand. Your first birth put you into Adam, and you became a sinner. Once again, there was nothing you could do to change that. Amen. Except, in other words, now that you're born into it, there's nothing you could do to change how you were born, but you can be born again. And this is why we must be born again, because when we're born again, then everything changes. Your second birth, or the new birth, puts you in the last Adam, or Christ, and you become a new creation. So in Adam, we share his identical fallen condition. Did you know that? In Adam, we shared his identical fallen condition, his inheritance, and his future. Whatever was true about him would be true about us, because we were in Adam. In Christ, we share his identical new condition, inheritance, and future. And so whatever's in Christ gets in us. And how do we get in Christ? By simply making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Now I'm going to date this. Some of you, most of you in this room will probably know, at least you can relate to what I'm talking about it, as I explain it. Everybody remembers cassette tapes, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Even they're outdated now. Amen. Praise God. Some of us remember reel to reel was a little bit before my time. 8-track was right in there. I mean, you know, so, you know, and cassette players and all that kind of stuff. Okay, well, back in the day, amen, you know, you do a message, and it's the same true today, but I wanted to use this this way. I mean, I could use other illustrations, but I remember back in the day, you know, back in the 80s with the cassette tapes and stuff like that, you know, you wanted to have to reproduce that tape. What you had to do is you had to have a master tape, okay? And then you had a box with, that you could link together that would have 4 or 6 tapes that you put blank tapes in and hit a button, and everything that was on the master got on the copies. Isn't that right? And so that's how you reproduced everything. Now, amen, it's a whole lot quicker, a little different. But the point is, whatever was on the master got up on all the copies. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is in Adam, whatever was on the master got on all the copies of the human race. But once we get in Christ, he's the new master copy. And everything that was in Christ on that master got in on every person that gets in Christ. So this is, or should be, exciting to us. If, matter of fact, if you can't get excited about that, then your wood is wet. Because, but see, what we have to understand that Christ isn't some weakling. He's the Savior, not only the Savior, but he's the creator of heaven and earth. And he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The only reason we're not shouting and jumping is because we lost sight of who he is. But God hasn't lost sight of who he is. He gave us a letter so that we know who he is. And what he's trying to convey through identity or identification is that whatever was on him got on us. Amen. Whatever was in him is in us by taking him as our Lord and Savior. By being born into the earth, whatever was on Adam, that fallen nature, that condition, got on us because we came out of Adam. Now, once born again through the new birth of the second birth, being saved, hallelujah, but the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, whatever is in him, that master copy gets in us. And we should be thankful about that. That is the law of identification. The law of identification is one man, the first Adam, got us in this mess, and one man, the last Adam, Christ, got us out of it. In other words, what Satan did in Adam, God reversed it all in Christ. Can I get an amen? Praise God. In identification, Jesus became like me, a man, so that I could become like him, Christ. This is why one of the most powerful revelations of the Bible is Christ's identification with us and our identification with Him. And now, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been identified with Jesus Christ. And we share His same identical life, His same identical nature, His same identical righteousness, His same identical power, and His same identical victory. Can I get an amen in here tonight? What God did was gave us the very life of Christ Himself. Actually, it is identical. And we have the same identical life. We share the same identical life. The reason it don't work for everybody is because everybody either don't know it and everybody don't believe it. To the degree you know it, believe it, and walk in it will be the degree of this manifesting in life. But it doesn't change the truth that this is how God views us. This is what God has done. And this is why this treasure is in earthen vessels. Come on. This is why these things are in us. But we must learn what the Scripture says. And through the law of identification, not only did we understand how we once were in Adam, how God did something, so now that we're in Christ, our old life is gone. The old man is gone. Yeah. The new life has begun. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That new creature is your identity. That's who you are. That's who you are in the Spirit. That's how God sees you. He doesn't see the old man. You may see the old man, but God doesn't see the old man. The old man was crucified with Christ. It no longer lives. It no longer has existence. In the mind and the economy of God, you are a brand new creature, identical. You're not a man altered. When you alter pants, you got the same pants. They just took them up or let them out. But you're a man remade. The Dean translation of this verse said, if any man be in Christ, he's not a man a man merely altered. He's a man remade. We were so messed up that God had to destroy the old man. That's why it was crucified with Christ. It had to die. And then, praise God, be put away, a death burial, and resurrected brand new in newness of life. That's what God did for us in Christ. He's not a man altered. He's a man remade. That means an entirely new species of being that never existed before. That's why I keep saying the reason you can do what you never done before is because you are who you never been before. New means new in kind, new in quality. A new kind of person. And this is why I say Jesus Christ came to create a new race of human beings in whom God could dwell and through whom God could work. This new race is a spiritual race. It has nothing to do with color, has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with nationality. It has everything to do with Christ. And it's a spiritual creation. You're a new species of being that never existed before. Hallelujah. Can I get amen in here tonight? Praise God. So God gave us the very life of Christ Himself. It is identical to His. Hopefully now you can see better how, as I said in the beginning, it's our identification with Christ that by it, God changes our spiritual condition, our spiritual position, and our spiritual identity. He changes it. He changes it. It is in our identification with Christ that gives us our new identity. That's what that's being in Christ is, or being one with Christ. When it says that if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature is your new identity. Is your new identity. That's how God views you in the Spirit. And it's how we're to operate and live from. Yes, you didn't lose your natural identity, but in order to operate in the Spirit, you got to operate by the spiritual identity that God gave you. And that spiritual identity will affect this realm. Matter of fact, this everything in this natural realm came out of the spiritual realm. And so this is why this is so important. We become in Christ. That when it says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In Christ is the term that lets us know that we have a new identity, that we become one with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Living Bible says it like this: but if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. Woo! One person. One person. One person. You and Christ are joined together as one person. Now I can tell you, the devil don't want you to know this, and the devil sure don't want you to believe this. Because the moment you start knowing this and believing it, you are a champion, and you begin to operate from this place. You exercise dominion and authority over the devil. He cannot stand it. He will fight this. Tomorrow morning you will wake up with some kind, I'm not trying to prophesy something bad, he will try to steal this word for you before you get home tonight. I can just tell you, he don't want you to have this word, but you're going to say, ha, 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 I'm going to listen to it again. I'm going to listen to it again. I'm going to listen to it again. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to go over. I'm going to look up all the scriptures, and I'm going to say what my good confession is going to be exactly who I am in Christ. Because that's how you fight the good fight of faith. See, it's our identification with Christ that gives us a union with Him. Or we become one with Christ. One with Him. This is why 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says it so marvelously. It says, King James Version, because as He is, this talk about Christ, so are we in this world. Woo! Because as He is, so are we in this world. Well, you got to be one with Christ in order to be that. Isn't that awesome? Passion Translation says it like this: because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know what I mean? I'm not advocating smoking, okay? You understand what I'm saying. But I can tell you, you've seen people smoke dope and they're like, ooh, I got a high. I can tell you, you need to be meditating on that. You come down off of some, you have the spiritual high that you need, because when you start seeing, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Now I need to say it again. I'm not advocating smoking something. Okay, I'm using that as just a funny way of saying, you know, if you inhaled something that made you hallucinate. I can tell you, you start inhaling this, it make you think like, you make you think like a different person. Right. Message Translation says it the best: as standing in the world is identical with Christ. Says it the best. One translation actually says, I identify myself completely with Christ. Woo, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's through our faith in Christ, Jesus Christ. In other words, the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, if we only think that our sins are forgiven, if we only think we get salvation, and we don't understand what salvation and forgiveness means, it means, listen, what this is saying is, we get in Christ, we get a brand new identity. Yes, we are forgiven. Yes, we get saved. Thank God for it. But everything that salvation brings, like you heard Sunday morning, there's at least seven other things that salvation brings. And what it includes is our identity in Christ, so that our standing in this world becomes identical with Jesus Christ. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we get in Christ it. We get put into Christ. We become united with Christ in union with Him. So I got this right here tonight. Just say, this is Christ. just for illustration, and say, this is you. What God did when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, everything God ever wanted in man was already in Christ. But how, God had a problem. How was God going to get that to us? Here's how he did it. He put us in him. We get in Christed. And everything, when we get in Christ, it means we get put in Christ or in union with Christ. And that means that whatever is true about Christ is true about us. Whatever is in him is in us. That sounds almost too good to be true, but it is true. Disprove it from the Bible. This is exactly what the Bible teaches, and this is how God sees us, and this is what identification actually teaches, and this is how we to see ourselves. Now, I want slide 8, if they put this up for me, and if this kind of explains it a little bit, good. Identification across the top. What we find is identification conveys two main ideas. Never forget it. Our union with Christ and our identity with Christ. It is through our unity with Christ, amen, that we also get our God-given identity. So in other words, you see branching off here, we have identity and union with Christ. A new creation who is one with Christ. The moment we get in Christ or one with Christ or in union with Christ, we get our new identity by being put in Christ. That's what in Christ it means. And there's approximately 130 to 180 verses in the epistles alone that identify who we are in Christ. It focuses around who we are, identity, what we have inheritance, and what we can do, the power to live this life, our authority. That's what identification or this focuses around. But notice how it conveys two main ideas, our union with Christ. See, we should see ourselves swallowed up in Christ, one with him. Matter of fact, we can't see ourselves. Matter of fact, you couldn't see your key. All you saw was Christ. All you saw was a bucket. You couldn't see you no more. And that's how God wants you to see you. He wants you to be lost in Christ. And whatever is true about Christ through your union with Christ, you are not only a new creature, but you have everything that belongs to Christ. It belongs to us. It's rightfully ours in Christ. You say, well, could that be true about healing? Could that be true about, that's true about everything. Everything that's provided in the will of God is true about. But we have to know it so we can live like that. Amen. And how many know that we can? Because God would never tell us something that we couldn't actually apply in our life or do. But we have to know it and then meditate on it and simply believe it and act on it. It is our identification with Christ that also gives us our new position in Christ. Remember I said that what God was doing in this, I said that he was showing us from the very get-go that God changes our spiritual condition, our position, and our identity. Our spiritual condition was changed in Christ from Adam to Christ. Our spiritual position now, from where we were to where God wants us to see ourselves at. How many know that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says that we've been raised up together with Christ and made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places? How many know that through our identity with Christ, it means that we take our place in Christ? And by taking our place in Christ, that's the stand of faith. In other words, the stand of faith is always about taking our place in Christ. And what Christ has said and what Christ has done. So identification with Christ also gives us a new position. We've been raised up in victory, like I said in Ephesians 2:6. We're to take and what we're to do is to take our place in Christ. In other words, you say, this is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do. And we take our stand of faith by taking our place in Christ. Not only do we stand on the Word of God, but what we actually do is we're standing in a place of in Christ, which is a place of victory, not a place of defeat. And Christ is the Word. So, yes, you stand on the Word, but you stand in your union with Christ. As if you were Christ and the words that you're speaking that Christ said, it has the same identical life, power, that Christ spoke it when He spoke it, when you speak it. That's what God wants us to see. When we do this, in other words, when we take our place in Christ, when we do this, this is why we say we fight from the victory, not for the victory. And while we say we fight with it, not trying to get it. That's a big difference. See, in Christ, you're not fighting for the victory, you're fighting from the victory. You're fighting with it, not trying to get it. In other words, that's your stand of faith. Your stand of faith is not only on the Word of God, but who you are in Christ. This is why John chapter 16, verse 33, they're not going to put this up, but it says, Jesus says, these things have I spoken to you, that in Him you may have peace and confidence. So I always say it like this, in my union with Him. And who is Christ? He's the Word. So let me just tell you something. How do we know we're in faith? When your union with Christ and His Word produces confidence, peace and confidence in your life, that's how you know you're in faith. When your union in Him and His Word produces peace and confidence, that's when you know you're in faith. See, you're not taking your place in Chris, you're taking your place in Christ. And when you take your place in Christ, it's a place of victory. And then you have the Word. When that produces peace and confidence, when you see yourself in Christ and the Word being all-powerful against the enemy, when you see yourself in Christ and use the Word, then when it produces peace and confidence, that's when you know you're in faith. And that's when it'll work for you. Because you're not fighting for the victory, you're fighting from the victory. You're not fighting you're not trying to get it, you already got it. And you're just saying, devil, you're blowing smoke. All that's a smoke screen. All those are lying symptoms. I resist that. I say no to that. I've got authority over that. Now, if Christ showed up, let me just say this. If Christ showed up, none of us in here tonight would doubt that He had authority over every sickness, disease, and everything that would come. But you know what the problem is? God wants you to not have a problem you seeing yourself in Christ and you having a total authority over that as well. Because in the mind of God, we do. But we know whether we believe that or not by how we act. I'm teaching it so we get it. I'm teaching it so we know it first and then meditate on this and get it in us. God sees us totally different than we see ourselves. Unless we see ourselves in Christ. If we see ourselves in union with Christ and use the authority of the Word that we have from that place, there is no devil in hell that can beat us. But we may have to stand in faith. We have to exercise. Jesus had to do that. Paul had to do that. We all will have to do that. But it's taking our place. This makes taking our place in Christ and taking our identification with Christ to a whole different place. And this is why I have repeatedly said this is how we fight the good fight of faith. Now, we put this slide 3 up by identifying with Jesus Christ. Or you can say it like this, by getting identity with Christ in His triumph over Satan and all that salvation has given me. Or you could say it like this, I fight the good fight of faith by identifying with Jesus Christ or taking my place in Christ. You see yourself raised up together, seated together with Christ in heavenly places, above the powers of darkness. In His triumph over Satan and all that salvation has given us, His triumph becomes our triumph. And you know how we do this? You know how you take your place in Christ? You know how you identify with you? By your good confession. By your good confession. That's how you do it. By your good confession. Through our good confession, I identify with Christ. Remember, I told you last week, how many people have you heard say, well, I identify as a man and they're a woman. Or I identify as a cat. What are they saying? This is who I say I am. So through your good confession, you identify with Christ. You're saying, this is who I say I am. I identify with Christ. I have the same life, the same nature, the same righteousness, the same power, the same victory as Christ. And this is why one of the most powerful revelations in the Bible is Christ's identification with us and our identification with Him. Now, through our faith in Christ, we have been identified with Christ. This means God gave us the very life of Christ Himself. It is identical. I know, boy, you're chewing this one tonight. We need to chew on it. As the book of Psalms says, Selah, stop, meditate, think on this. I'm going to leave you with this thought before we make our good confession of faith tonight. A thought from the writings of A.J. Gordon in his book that's entitled In Christ. He made one of the most profound statements, and I'm going to read it to you tonight in closing. The believer's life, listen to what he said. The believer's life is not a life that runs parallel to Christ like you were trying to be like Christ, because parallels never meet. I don't know if you got that or not. I would say that again. A believer's life is not a life that runs parallel to Christ like you were trying to be like Christ, because parallels never meet. The mystery, he goes on and writes, the mystery and the glory of the believer's life is that your life is one with Him. One with Him, joined to Him, His life is in you. Now that is exactly what Colossians 1:21, verse 27 says. Why don't we turn that real quick? Colossians 1, verse 27. Hallelujah. I didn't have them to put that up, but we can turn that real quick and just look at this. It says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Woo! Every time you see a railroad track now, you're going to think about it differently. Your life isn't a life that runs parallel with Christ. Your life is one that's hitting Christ. And this makes scriptures like this brand new. He goes on in finishing, he says, he goes on to say, in application, you died with Him to sin, but now you're alive in Him unto God. Both the death and resurrection of Christ are reproduced. Limitless in application and immortal in energy. And with that in mind, Colossians 3:3 makes total sense. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Boy, I know y'all gave you a lot to think about tonight. But see yourself in Christ. This makes you look at yourself totally differently. It helps you to see that through your union with Him, not only do you get a brand new identity, but everything that's in Christ is now in you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And it causes us to be able to rise up and be Christ, to be the believers and the disciples that God called us to be. Why don't we stand to our feet tonight? Praise God. Are you ready to make a good confession? Hallelujah. Because remember, your good confession is by identifying with Jesus Christ, you take your place in Christ, and the way you take your place in Christ is by your good confession. The way you fight the good fight of faith is by your good confession. And by identifying with Jesus Christ and His triumph over Satan, and all that salvation is given unto us. Are you ready to make your good confession tonight? I am, say it with me, I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am delivered and forgiven. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have eternal life. I have the faith of God. I have the love of God in my heart. I have the authority over the powers of darkness. I hear God's voice and I'm led by His Spirit. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Thank you, Jesus. I am more than a conqueror because of you. Come on. Begin to praise Him and thank Him tonight.